Good morning. Welcome back. Today we're going to begin the topic of tzedakah and ma'aser k'safim. Now, as many of you probably realized, tzedakah is not technically in Chayshim Mishpat. The halachas are brought down in Yerodeah, Simon Reish Mem Zayin, and on. And as a hisnatzlus for why we're taking the liberty to do a little bit of Yerodeah, very often when I give shiurim, I tend to talk about psukim such as Tzion b'mishpat yipada, v'shoveha b'tzdaka, Shimu mishpat v'asu tzdaka, ki koyva yishuas yilavai. And we find again and again the psukim lump tzdaka and mishpat together. And very often, many of the psukim, it actually has mishpat first. And the obvious question is, what is the connection between the two? And why is mishpat put before tzedakah? So the answer, I believe, is, and this is something which many poskim say, it's negei l'halacha and it's negei l'hashkafa. But the inyan of tzedakah is when a person he works hard all day, he makes a parnasa, he earns money, and then he sees another yid who's less fortunate than him, a nitzruch, and he takes money from his pocket, from his money, and gives tzedakah, does a chesed to another yid. Tzedakah is based on the fact you're taking your money and giving it to another yid. The Mefarshim will say that the mitzvah can only start once you know this is your money. And that's why it's shimru mishpat. First, you have to make sure, you have to put your house in order. You have to make sure that the money that you have is kosher geld. It's money that truly belongs to you. And then ma'asu tzedakah. Then you can go ahead and you can give tzedakah with it. But to go ahead and to lie, cheat, and swindle, and then generously give from the geneva to an unfortunate ani, that's not tzedakah. The Zohar, in fact, writes that a goslin that gives tzedakah is ma'ir akitra. And some of the pshat is, if a person has a tremendous taiva, he has a tremendous drive for money, he needs to buy the biggest house, the fanciest car, so he goes ahead and he cuts corners and gets there. Okay, nebuch, he's a bal aveira, he's a bal taiva, and he'll have to give a din v'cheshbon one day for what he did to get there. But if a person goes ahead and cheats from one yid simply to give it away to tzedakah for another, that's indefensible. That's not tzedakah, that's tzedakah. And that's why these concepts are always connected. First, we have to make sure your mishpat is in order, and then you can think about doing the next level of the asu tzedakah. Now, what that means is, over the past 2.5 years that we've had this chabura, we've really just been preparing to learn hilchus tzedakah. We've making sure that we have it right, and now, Baruch Hashem, we'll have the opportunity to go through some of the actual hilchus tzedakah. Now, just as a disclaimer, when we talk about Choshen Mishpat, so giving a shir in halacha berabim is a tremendous achrayus, which I'm certainly not up to. But my justification is always that most sane rabbanim avoid talking about Choshen Mishpat. So b'malkim shenish, I give these shiurim. Yerodeya and Hilchos Ribbis is something which there are many rabbanim that are happy to answer the questions. Everyone here has their own Meira Hira and their own Rav. And therefore, when it comes to halacha l'maisa, we're going to be ma'ir some questions, we'll go through the sugya, but halacha l'maisa, each person should certainly follow the hayra of his rav and his paisik before doing anything l'maisa. Now we're going to begin, and we're going to basically follow the seder of Shulchan Aruch, we'll skip around a bit, we're going to begin with Simon Reish Mem Zayin. So the Mechaber begins, mitzvah sasei litein tztaka kifi ha-slagas yad. There is a mitzvah sasei to give tztaka. The Torah points out that this asay is mentioned time and time again. And although it's mentioned in the Torah time and time again, the minyan hamitzvah is all lumped together. It is one mitzvah asay. It is repeated to stress how important it is, but at the end of the day, it is one mitzvah asay. Now the Rambam, in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, Perek Yud, Halacha Aleph, uses a very strong language. The Rambam writes, "Chayavin anu lihizar b'tzedakah yoyser mikol mitzvah saseh." We have to be more careful with the mitzvah of tzedakah more than any other mitzvah saseh. Now, in general, we do not rank mitzvahs. Any Dvar Hashem, any mitzvah is a Dvar Hashem. And it is not in our place to start saying, this is more important, this is less important, we'll be careful about this, less careful about that. But over here, the Rambam says that the mitzvah of tzedakah, you have to be careful, yoser mikol mitzvah saseh, more than any other mitzvah. And the Rambam explains the reason for that is that shat tzedakah simen letzadikei zera avram, shenemar ki yidati l'man asher yitzave, esbono v'esbeisei, shemu derech Hashem lasos tzedakah u'mishpat. The Rambam explains that it is not simply a mitzvah, that a ma'isa ha-mitzvah, that by fulfilling it, you get the kima mitzvah. It is a simen that a person is mizera avram, rachmanim b'sham and gomich hasadim. And it is therefore, it's not just a mitzvah that a yid does, it is one of the characteristics of Klal Yisrael. And that's why it deserves the special attention and the special zehiras. Now the Lashon of the Mechaber, when he describes the mitzvah, it's an interesting language, he says, mitzvah says, litein tzedakah, kifi hasagas yad. Based, you have mitzvahs to give tzedakah as much as you can afford. Now, it doesn't say there's a mitzvah to buy a lulav if you can still afford a derech. There's a mitzvah to shake lulav. If a person doesn't have money, he's an oinos. Over here, in describing what the actual mitzvah is, the mitzvah is to give tzedakah based on what you can afford. So it's clear from this Rambam and from this Mechaber that how much a person can afford is part of the actual mitzvah. And if a person can't afford tzedakah, the pshat is not he has a chiyuv, but he's an oynis, and therefore oynis rachmana patre. The pshat is that the whole chiyuv is just to give based on what you can afford. And because of this, we're going to see as we go through the shiurim, there's going to be one of the most basic questions is how much tzedakah does a person have to give? Everyone heard there's the Chaimish, there's Meiser, there's Shlishas HaShekel, the Machsoiroi. There are going to be different guidelines. But the Aleph Beis is that the discussion is not simply a question of an oinus. The whole mitzvah seems to be limited to what a person can afford. Now, because it's a mitzvah saseh, typically when you do a mitzvah saseh, what do you do before you shake a lulav? You make a bracha. So the Rishonim are bothered by why don't we make a bracha every time you give tzedakah? It's a mitzvah saseh, like every other. So there are a number of pshatim. The Rashba writes, although it's a mitzvah saseh, when you have a lulav or you have an esrog in front of you, you make the bracha, you pick up the lulav, and you know you have the ability to be mekayim the mitzvah. When it comes to tzedakah, if the ani declines to accept the tzedakah, then there's no mitzvah. And therefore, Dr. Like the Rashba, you cannot make a bracha since he may not accept it. Now, I don't know how common it is for Aniyim not to accept it, unless you're having a very small nadava, perhaps. But nevertheless, the Rashba says, because it depends on him, Chassam Sefer adds more, since if he says he doesn't want it, the mitzvah will disappear, so you can't make a bracha. The Ravid that the Chaim Kanievsky brings down adds another point, and he says that it's true the mitzvah of tzedakah is a tremendous mitzvah mitzad the noisin. The person giving it, it's a tremendous chus. But for the person receiving it, it's a tremendous misfortune. He's a nitzur, he has to beg, he has to ask for tzedakah. And therefore he says you can't make a bracha on a ma'isa, on a mitzvah that involves pain or suffering for somebody else. There's a famous story about there was a midget, he was walking through Mea Sharim, and suddenly he feels himself being lifted off the ground. Turns around, he sees as this big person had picked him up in his right hand, was holding him over his head, he was shaking, he was closing his eyes. So the midget was terrified, what's going to happen next? And the person says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mishana HaBriyos. So it's true they have to make a bracha, but a person is not a chifetz shel mitzvah, and you have to have sensitivity. And therefore the Ravid says, because someone else is suffering, we do not make a bracha. Well, you don't have to lift him up for it. You can just do it quietly. You're not talking to him, you're not dealing with him. Okay, now interesting, there's another pshat which I heard. I don't know where it's from, but it's a similar mahalach, and that is if the halacha was you had to make a bracha. So what would happen? An ani could knock on your door. He wants to get to tzedakah. Sure, you give him a big smile, Baruch Hashem, an opportunity to do a big mitzvah. You invite him in. You go ahead. You wash your hands. You put on your hat and jacket. You get out your garitol. By the time you finish making your bracha, Nebuchadnezzar, you'll starve to death. So therefore, since again, the Chazal did not want to do anything that would delay, the Yoni comes, give him the money, it's not time to start making brachos and to do anything. It's time to give him the money immediately without any delay, and that's another reason why you don't make a bracha. Doesn't make it right. Enochanami. Well, we'll get to you. You're making an assumption. You're making an assumption that giving it to a koyel is a mitzvah of tzedakah. Now, we'll deal with that. Obviously, that's a loaded question. We're not going to let it all out in the first year. But that one of the fundamental questions we're going to deal with is what is the definition of tzedakah? So again, the Rashba deals with some stuff from the Rashba deal. Question that goof is a question. Why not? Part. This is part of the discussion. Being medame to kedushin and to be medame to perhaps the fact that most ben adam l'chaveiro needs the other person, and if he declines, then you don't have the mitzvah. But in Chami, this is part of the discussion of the ben adam. The tzedakah is part of the discussion, and this is what the Rishonim say.
The right thing to do, you have to be Bikya Cholem, you have to be a Kavala Mason, and I think that's an accepted fact.
Hopefully all mitzvahs are accepted facts. And they're all the right thing to do.
Even Goyim.
Well, actually, we'll see. It says, Tztaka Tereimim Goy, V'chesed L'umim Chatas. Which it sounds like from the pasuk, and again, we'll deal with it because this comes out, it's in the Yel Halacha. It sounds like when a goy does tzedakah, it's a chatos. And why that's true and when that's true, we'll have to deal with. But it's not so simple that to lump the tzedakah that Klal Yisrael does and a goy in the same sentence. Okay, that's true. You don't need his consent. The truth is, they ask also if let's say an ani owes you money, and you're moichel him. So it's very possible, and again, there's a discussion that is a kiyum mitzvah of tzedakah. Now, you don't need his consent in that case, and it's passive. Again, there are a lot of kashas. I'm just going to go through briefly. Now, the last teretz, which is a chidush yarim in Chayish Mishpat, Simen Sadi Zayin, he has a tremendous chidush, and he says that the mitzvah of tzedakah is to give tzedakah to an ani. When a person knocks on your door, do you have any real havtach or guarantee that he's truly an ani? Maybe he's a rabbi. So because there's some suffix, because it's not guaranteed, you can't make a bracha. By the lulav and esrig, so depending on where you're from, you take a yanova, you take a chazanush, you take a whole bunch of esrogim. By aniyim, I don't know, you take a yanova ani, a bnei brach, I don't know what to do exactly. So Chidush Erim says, because there's a tzad, he may not be a real ani, he's mechadish, you don't make a bracha. Now, before anyone gets too excited, the Chidush Erim is clearly saying, you have to give the tzedakah. He's saying, give it, but don't make a bracha. He's not saying, because there's no havtacha, therefore I'm potter, I don't have to give any tzedakah. Now, again, we'll discuss that in a future shir. What? That's true. So the question is, it says we're makar toiv to the Ramayim because now there will be less of an oynish. Does that mean that because it's possible for someone to be a Ramay, there's no mitzvah tzedakah? The Akhrayim point out, if that were true, then it doesn't make sense for the Torah to say there's mitzvah because there's no way to ever know. So clearly the fact that there are some Ramayim out there is not a blanket heter. I don't have to give any tzedakah because there's no guarantee. Now it does. It says you're makar toiv, so perhaps it means there's less of an einish. Perhaps there are cases where you won't have to give. We'll discuss that in a future share. But it's you cannot learn from that gemara blanket that if there's no guarantee, you don't have to give tzedakah.
Someone like Kusa or Karani, if the Gadol understand this is pure tzedakah, no suffering, then if you give to them,
the court value deals with it. Okay, in theory, yes. But in past just one, they were not misakin ibracha because typically you don't know for sure. And once they weren't misakin, that's really the answer probably for all of these questions. The Chasam Sofer or the Rajba, since normally it depends on the other person. If you have one or two cases where you don't need his consent, they didn't make a bracha because it's something that typically is not subject to a bracha for whatever the reason is. That's true. Anything could happen. The difference over here is that here you need someone else to accept it. So there's the part of the action is not in your control. It's not a question of, I don't think it's a question of probability. probably more tefillin are possible than aniyim that say, you know what, keep your money. So it's not probability, it's a question of that you don't control the entire act. So this is the mechaber, this is the mitzvah asay to give tzedakah. And the mechaber continues, v'kam v'amin tztavah b'mitzvah asay, as I mentioned before, the Torah says it again and again to stress the importance. Nevertheless, it is counted, the mini ha-mitzvah is only counted as one mitzvah. Now, besides for the mitzvah asay, for the positive mitzvah that a person has a chiyuv to go ahead and give tzedakah, the mechaber writes, v'yesh lois asay b'malim einav mimena, shenem lois amet es levavcha v'loisik bois es yadcha. Besides for the fact there is a positive mitzvah to give tzedakah, if a person sees an ani asking, and he's approached by an ani and he's asked for tzedakah, and he does not give him, not only was he mevatla mitzvah sasei, but he was also over a lois sasei. Lois ames es levavcha, v'lesikbos es yadcha. There's a lav d'oraisa of refusing or not giving an ani who asks for tzedakah. Now this, of course, leads us to a question. We know that if there's a lav, person has a choice between eating chazer or losing all of his money. So the chiyuv is to give up all of your money to avoid being over a lois sasei. So why is tzedakah any different? If a person is asked for money, so since there is a lav to refuse, then halacha should be you have to give up all of your money to avoid being over the lav. Now the answer is based on what we said before. Just like in the mitzvah I say is to give litein tzedakah kifi hasagas yad. The whole mitzvah is to give what you can afford. So many achronim say the lav of not giving tzedakah is when you don't give tzedakah that you have a mitzvah sasei to give. But in a case where the mitzvah sasei does not apply for whatever reason, and we will see numerous cases, but with the simplest being, because you've already given as much as you're obligated to do, once there's no mitzvah sasei, the lo sasei pashas would not apply either, and that's why you would not have a chi, though the chi would be limited to whatever the gdorim of the asei is, which we'll discuss in a future share. Now also another is, there's a famous machlokes achronim, this halacha that you have to give up your money to avoid being over a lav, there's a tremendous machlokes where that applies only to a kumvase, only to a lav where you're going ahead, a person is actively eating chazer. So to avoid doing a ma'is aveira, there the chiyuv is to give up all of your money. When it's passive, you're simply, by not doing something, you're being over a lav, that is a machlokes, and therefore, according to the ones that hold that you're not that by a passive lav, there's no chiyuv, that would certainly explain this halacha as well.
Maybe
kvitzis yad is called active. It's pashas, kvitzis yad, I mean, if you put out your hand and you pull it back, maybe, but if you just ignore him, it's hard to call that an action. Yeah, I don't think it means literally. It's not a physical action. You're hardening your heart and not doing something. I don't think you're pouring cement into your heart. It's certainly not a physical action, and it's just a decision that the person's making not to go ahead and to give the tzedakah. Now this leads us to, I think, probably the most common shaila in hilchos tzedakah is what at your middle of davening. And today, very often, aniyim come around during davening collecting tzedakah. Do you have a chiyuv to interrupt, to stop what you're doing, to give them tzedakah? Now, as an aside, people very often get annoyed, I'm trying to daven, how come people are knocking on my, are coming to interrupt? But the reality is, I think the aniyim would be much happier to visit you in your home. The reason why they're coming to shul is when they knock on people's doors, people aren't available, they're not home, they don't answer the phone. And therefore, Belez Brero, this is the only push, it's the only time to find people where they can't run away. Adrab, the Chavetz Chaim speaks out here, this Medayik, the Gemara in Shabbos, Dav Zayin. The Gemara has it sad to say that you shouldn't build a base shar, some sort of guardhouse by a chotzer. And the reason why you shouldn't have this base shar is it makes it harder for aniyim to get into your house. Now, Lania's daiti, if Chazal were around today, they would probably outlaw caller ID. Because that's today what we use to shield ourselves from aniyim. And you see, Chazal, we're not nicha, the Gemara in Dav Zayin, there's another Gemara, a person shouldn't have a dog in his house because it scares away the aniyim that are coming. The Chavetz Chaim speaks about richos, that when people set things up, make themselves difficult for aniyim to approach, it's a tremendous avla. But be that as it may, what is the halacha if someone comes during davening and asks you for tzedakah? Now, the way we explain, there is a mitzvah saseh to give tzedakah. There's an isser lav of loisamis es levavcha not to give. So l'chayra, you should have to stop what you're doing, and you should have a chiv to give him tzedakah. However, we do find there's a halacha that a shomer aveda, someone who finds an aveda lying on the street, is considered a shomer sacher. The reason why he's a shomer sacher is because of pruta de Rav Yosef, which is that while he's busy caring for the aveda, he's busy shaking it out, doing whatever he needs to do to care for it. The halacha is if an ani comes at that moment and asks for a tzedakah, he doesn't have to give, because we have a rule: oisik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. You're busy doing a mitzvah, you're taking care of the aveda. You have no obligation to do another mitzvah, and therefore you're saving yourself. You don't have to give a tzedakah. You're saving yourself a pruta, and that's why you have a din of a shomer sacher. There's a havtacha that when a person gives tzedakah, he will eventually get it back. At the same token, there's a havtacha that any mitzvah that you do, you will get tzchar. It may be in dollars and cents, it may be in other forms. So the fact that every mitzvah has tzchar, and whether we get paid back, ruchnias and gashmias and olam hazeh, olam haba, doesn't take away from the fact that you save, there's a dollar extra in your pocket right now. So in Hidine Shmiro, you're saving yourself a dollar. In this, certainly, if you want to know whether Ziyata Skarib have Seidoi, whether Api Hashkafa, the person is better off finding a way to give the tzedakah, certainly he's better off doing that. But if you want to know, did he gain something? Is he richer today? The answer is he saved a dollar. And what that will be in the Haftacha and the Ashiris in the future would be a separate question. So the question is going back. So if you're watching an Aveda, the halacha is there's no chiv to give tzedakah. Aisik mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. What about if you're in the middle of davening? So over here, there is some that we find the Mishnah Berurah brings down in Simon Tzadi Beis that Anim used to come during Kriyas HaTorah, and the Mishnah Berurah says that should not be done because they interrupt the laning. People will miss answering Berachas HaTorah. Prima Gadim says that people that Anim used to go around during Chazaras HaShatz, Prima Gadim objects as well. He says it interrupts the davening. People will not listen to Chazaras HaShatz. And these achronim are clear that collecting during davening is something which if it's going to interrupt, if it's going to interfere with people's davening, it shouldn't be done. The Derech Amuna, Rav Chaim Kanievsky Taka writes that because oisik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah, if it's going to disturb you, you do not have a chiv to stop what you're doing and give the tzedakah. Now, it's brought down b'shem that the Igros Moshe's hanhaga was, whenever he went to daven, he took out a few dollars and he put it on his standard on his table. And that way, whenever an oni came around, he would know to take the dollar. And it wouldn't interrupt Rav Moshe. He was busy davening. He wouldn't have to deal with it. But on the same token, he was able to mekayim the mitzvah asay of giving tzedakah, because this is a way in which it's not a conflict, it's not a stira. Oh, very good. So there is a tumult about oisik mitzvah patur mitzvah by Mrs. Rabbanon and Chanami, because most of davening will be a Rabbanon, and therefore it will be totally in that shaila. Now, I will add, I've heard this over, I think it was B'Shem Rechaim Kanievsky, I'm not sure, that in a Chanami, if a person is in the middle of davening, he's being oisik mitzvah, so he has a patur. If an ani comes, he can say oisik mitzvah patur mitzvah. But that only applies if he's really davening, and this giving this dollar, stopping from this ani, is what is going to interrupt and is going to stare with that davening. If anyway he's busy thinking about whatever he's thinking about and spacing in, spacing out, then just when the ani comes in, punk to say, now I'm oisik b'mitzvah, now it's going to interrupt my davening, then a person's also litin es aden. But if he's taka davening, he's an erin state, he davens, he doesn't interrupt, he doesn't get in, and suddenly punk someone comes and that will stare him, he has this p'tur. But if it's not a shter, if anyway in his davening he's busy looking around and saying hello to everyone and doing other things, punkt to get from when the ani walks in is not a p'tur. Now the Chaber continues after describing the law, he says, V'chol malam eid of mimeno, anyone who doesn't give tzedakah nikra b'liyal, Ukiilu oyver alilum. It's like he was oyver avil. It's like he's oyver avodah zarah. Now this is pretty strong language. How does not giving tzedakah translate into avodah zarah? So the Kovetz Shiurim Bava Basra says a very nice pshat. He says that why doesn't a person give tzedakah? He doesn't give tzedakah because he needs the money. Why does he need the money? Because one day something will happen, his transmission will break, he'll get sick, something will come up. And if he doesn't have the funds to pay for it, he's going to be up the creek, he's going to have a problem. What does that mean? What that means is a person who does not giving tzedakah because he's afraid that if I give the tzedakah, then this terrible thing will happen to me. If I don't give the tzedakah, I'll have the money, I'll be able to buy my way out of the problem. He's worshipping the almighty dollar. And it's a chisaron in his bitachon, in his emun, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because that's the reason. He's not giving it simply because he feels this is the only way to save himself from whatever this tragedy or misfortune that he's worried about. And that is where the point where he's being kafir be'ikr, where it's kilu, he's being oyved avodah zarah. So okay, the person's Isaac ben mitzvah and he's saka davening, he can't interrupt. So the Chaim Kanievsky says, "Maker Hadin, he's not mechuyev, so he can certainly wait. Tell the person to wait. If the person is again, it's not a valid excuse. Then the way into davening is not, it doesn't really help anything. If he's saka Isaac ben mitzvah, in the case of the Shemar Aveda, he doesn't tell the Ani, wait until I'm done, because if he would do that, he's not saving himself a proof that he wouldn't be a Shemar Safa. He just says, I'm Oisik B'mitzvah. He doesn't have to get the door because he's being Oisik B'mitzvah. One mitzvah doesn't take precedence, so it can't push out the other one that you're busy being Oisik with. Very good. So the Machin Ephraim in Shvuas Tezvav is Mesopik. We'll discuss that in a future shiur. But it's a very good question. You know, if you have money, you know, you're asking, if you have money, someone knocks on, you have to give it to him. Or can you say, you know what, this money is all going to go to tzedakah, but not to you, I'll give it to the next person. So there's a ranach that sounds like you can pick and choose. The Machne Ephraim brings a bunch of rishonim there. Excuse me? Correct. Enchami. You have a chiyuv hafrasha, but then you have the teivas hanoah. By tzedakah, again, the Machne Ephraim in Siman Tezvav brings raya's both ways. We'll discuss it in a future share. So that we'll see. There's a separate chiyuv. Yes, there's a chiyuv. Kol Hoshi Ad is by Purim, right? But the regular during the year, there is. We'll see later on. There's halacha of al tash of dal nichlam. There is an isser midivrei kabbalah. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. It's not a pasuk in the Torah. That anytime an oni asks you for money, you have to give him a mashu. It sounds like even less than a pruta. You can't turn him away empty handed. That's true, regardless of chaimish meiser lav. I say that's just. There's an oni. He's asking. You can't send him. But the question is, after that, a person has ma'aser money, he has a chomish. Does he have the right to pick and choose, I want to give it to the next person, or the first person who knocks on the door, does he have a chiyuv to give it all? And that's, again, we're going to have to discuss it. There are hilchos kadima, ani yercha, kroivim, talmud Torah. We'll have to discuss that in a future shiurim, how to give the ma'aser. The Mechaber continues. So, okay, we'll discuss it. It might depend on the kind. We'll discuss that. Ramam again. The Armayr Makayim is about a Ramay. We'll get to that in a future share. Umoid yesh lizar bezeh ba ki efshe shiyavu lidei shvichas damim shiyamos ani mavakesh lo yitim lo miyad ku uvdo denochem ish gamzu. You have to be very careful. The Gemara has a story of denochem ish gamzu. He was traveling. He had his food. He had his money. And ani asked for tzedakah. He said, no problem. Wait until I unload my wagons. By the time he finished unloading, the Oni had died of hunger, and it's, you know, the Gemara describes the terrible Einish that Nachum Ish Gamzu was makabel on himself. So again, you have to be very careful with and very sensitive to the Oni's plight. And the Mechaber continues in Sif Beis, Lo'olam ein adam ma'ani min hatzdaka. The Mechaber says Lo'olam. This is a rule across the board. A person never becomes poor because he gave tzedaka. Not only will he not become an ani, the Mechaber adds, "V'loy dover ra, v'loy hezik misgalgal al yada." Nothing bad will be misgalgal al yada. It will never cause anything bad, even indirectly. Shnemar v'yom masa tztaka shalom. So the Mechaber writes a haftacha that tztaka will never cause any problems. Now, based on this, Rav Moshe Sternbach writes that when you have a suffix in stock or in Ma'aser Ksafim, we'll see there are many different machloksim. Ma'aser Ksafim, according to most paiskim, is probably even less than a drabbanon. It's probably a minog in many instances. Nevertheless, Ramesh Sternbach writes, when there is a question, you should be machmer. Since regardless as a haftacha that a person will, nothing bad will come out of giving tzedakah, so there's no reason to look for kulos, and a person should be machmer in any such question. Now, related to that, we're going to skip to Sifdal the Rama. The Rama adds that not only is tzedakah a skulo that he won't become an ani, the Rama adds be ma'aseres. Zok the Rama, that not only is there a haftacha that a person will not become an ani from giving tzedakah, giving tzedakah is a skula for ashiros. Not only is it a skula, the Gemara in Tanya says that asur l'nasos, there's an isur to test the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're not allowed to test the Rebbeinu Shalom. The one exception is b'chanuni no bazois. There's that you're allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu by giving tzedakah. That it says that by giving tzedakah you will get ashiras. So you tell Rebbeinu Shalom, let's see you perform. I'm going to give tzedakah and I'm going to be boichan of Rebbeinu Shalom and make sure to see that the ashiras comes. Now the Rama does qualify this. V'yeshayimrim dafka min sinas ma'aser mutar l'nasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avoloy b'shar tzedakah. Zog the Rama, it doesn't mean you can give a dollar to tzedakah and say, okay, Rebbeinu Shalom, now I want ashiras. It means you have to give ma'aser. Now, even this ma'aser, there's a machlokes, the Piskei Tshuva brings down a number, the Shlah and a number of others, that it could be this is talking about the dafka ma'aser of tvua, which is the chi of ma'aser midaraisa, although Chavetz Chaim is ma'aser on that. But it's talking about perhaps by ma'aser tvua. But the Rama is arguing. The Rama is paskening that by ma'aser ksafim as well, if a person gives ma'aser ksafim kehilchasa, he has the right to test the Rebbeinu Shalom and to demand, if you will, kaviyachol, that there will be ashiras. Now, this leads us to the question that we see many people who give tzedakah, and some of them we see do not become gvirim. And adrabba, very often you see wealthy people who are known to be balei tzedakah, and they lose their money. How does this stem with this haftacha? So there are a few approaches suggested in the Achronim. First, as we mentioned before, from the Zohar, that tzedakah is only tzedakah when it's kasher gelt. If there's any gezel mixed in, then not only is it not a schus, then it's ma'ir kitchuk. So the first thing you have to make sure if you're giving tzedakah, you want to do b'chanuni no bezois, is you have to make sure this money is truly yours. The Gemara in Ksubis says that if a person gives tzedakah for his kavod, he's not doing l'shem shemayim, then this haftacha does not apply. And in fact, the Gemara sounds like fakert. Giving tzedakah only for kavod is something which is a kitchuk. The Gemara sounds like that causes a person to lose his money. But if a person knows the money is kosher and is giving it l'shem shemayim, that's where the haftacha applies. The Chavetz Chaim has an interesting. Chavetz Chaim says, and this is a machlokes. He says that even though there's a haftacha that by giving ma'aser a person will get ashiras, sometimes a person does averos that cancel that. He actually learns pshat in that. He says, "Arimimcha Hashem kidi lisani voice machtoi vayle." So he learns "Arimimcha Hashem kidi lisani." He learns "dilisani." He teaches a drush. It means "kidi a lashon of dal." "Arimimcha Hashem kidi lisani." I'm being mishabeach Kodesh Baruch Hu that it became dal, that it became poor. Why? Because voice machtoi vayle. The person knows really he did things that he's chayiv misa, but because of the schos of the tzedakah that he did, instead of being chayiv misa, Kodesh Baruch Hu took away, made him into a dal. Oni choshev kemes, and that's why Rimech Hashem kitili sani. You're thanking the Rebbeinu Shalom for becoming a dal because of that. V'loy simach do yivayli. That's what saved him from a worse einish. Oh, so like this. So the chinuch says, if you're going to say that any time a person does an avera, you no longer have the haftacha, then what does it mean? The Rebbeinu Shalom says what kind of test is it? You have there's an out. Whenever it doesn't work, you just say, oh, he did averas. That's a good kasha. The Chinuch Taka says that Averos cannot take away from this Chos. And he argues with this and says that Bechunas will apply. The way I would understand the Chavetz Chaim, because of the Doichik, is that it's talking about where the person that gave the tzedakah knew good and well that he has these problems. And he knows good and well that he has these other Einshim, and that's why he doesn't become B'nei Nechanayim. So someone on the outside, there's no Havtacha that I can test with Rabbeinu Shlalom that Yankel gave tzedakah, why doesn't he become a Gvir? The Havtacha is, if I give it and I know, or I believe, that I have no other Averos, then there's Bechanuni no Bezois. So, Enochanami, I would say the Chavetz Chaim applies only when the person giving it, who's doing the Beboichin, knows good and well on his own, he has these other Cheshbainus that would take away. But Enochanami, the Kasha is certainly a good Kasha. It's hard to use the Musar Dika definition of Ashirus when it's Avtacha. The Lashon over there is the Lashon of the Pasuk is pretty strong about opening the Oitzris of Bracha. Ad Bli Dai, it's very strong Lashon. It doesn't sound like he has crusty bread, but Baruch Hashem, he has a roof over his head, so he's an Asher. And I don't think... Correct. Okay, so the Mechaber, just to finish up, the Mechaber in Sif Gimel writes, "Kol Merachim Ani Amakadosh Baruch Hu Merachim Alav." Another reason to have a person should give tzedakah is that a person, as the Rama explains, "Vitin Adam Eliva Yishum Mevakish Kol Shapar Nasas Mekadosh Baruch Hu Kumay Yishum Mevakish Mekadosh Baruch Hu Yishma Shavasa Kachu Yishma Shavas Aniyam." The same way every person knows he's a nitzruch, he has needs, that he's turning to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and asking for a matnas chinam, so he has to act the same way. And if a person ignores the cries of an ani, he cannot then expect the Kadosh Baruch Hu to listen to his tefillos, and knowing that he himself is a dal, he is a dal in mitzvos, he's a dal in tzchusim, and nevertheless, you're mispalat HaKadosh Baruch Hu to ask for a matnas chinam for its tzedakah. So certainly, the person has to act the same way and listen when an ani is begging from him. Now, just to begin, some of the halachas in Reish Mechel. Reish Mezayin was primarily a hakdama, just to go through one or two of the halachas. In Sivin Reish Mechel, the Mechari begins, Kol Adam Chai Litein Tzedakah, Afilu Ani Hamispanis Menat Tzedakah Chai Litein Mimasha Yitnu Lai. Everyone has a chiv to give tzedakah. Even Ani, who himself is living off tzedakah, has a chiyuv to separate something and give it to another Ani. Lashon HaChinuch is, if the Ani finds someone who is less fortunate than him, or actually the Rambam says, he's less fortunate or in the same situation, he has a chiyuv to give, even though he himself is living off tzedakah, he has to give something. Now, as the Machlokes has had to learn this, some learn this is talking about the minimum, shlishus HaShekel. Certainly, although there's a tremendous inyan to give meiser, if a person is living off tzedakah, or certainly if a person has choivos, he has no right to go ahead and start giving meiser and being menadiv and being mefazer mois of tzedakah if he himself owes other people money that he cannot pay back. But at least a minimal amount of chiyuv there certainly is. No, if he owes money and he has a few extra dollars, his chiyuv is to go pay back that bal choiv. Going ahead and giving tzedakah instead, it's like what we mentioned before. You're giving the Baal Choyv, you're giving your creditors money for tzedakah. That is not that you can't do. There's a minimum amount.
You
have a mortgage, you have income also that will match up to it. But if right now you owe someone money and instead of paying him back, you go ahead and decide to give him, to help the guy who was help out another ani, so you're basically doing a Robin Hood, and that would be awesome. No, you're not taking off. But the point is like this: what happens if? That's true. But if a person doesn't have food, so we'll see. There's a chiyuvis to give a shlishus hashekel. A minimum amount, it's probably about $10 at maximum. That's his chiyuv per year. That's the minimum, $10 per year. Anything above that, if you owe people money, you don't have the right to go ahead and give tzedakah if you're not going to pay back your creditors because of that. you are basically giving away your creditor's money for tzedakah. And therefore, you have to be very careful. What is a mitzvah and what is an avla?
Let's say that in the case where a person owes somebody money and then he says, "I can't pay," we'll make an agreement of how much to pay. Now, based on the agreement, now I have money.
Okay. If the person is Meichel B'Lev Shalim and agreed to wait and he was accepted it, if you didn't give him a choice, you said either you can accept this payment or hang yourself, I'm not giving you the money. So then if he has any extra capital, he should be paying back his Baal Chayiv. He should give tzedakah from his money. He should not be giving tzedakah from his Baal Chayiv's money.
So based on what you're saying, is it correct that until a person pays the full cost of what his children, the cost of yeshiva tuition, that's what you're asking, but of course then to educate your children, you should not be giving tzedakah?
Very likely. Very likely. We'll get to that. We'll get to where tuition comes in, whether it's part of Meiser or not part of Meiser. But if essentially when you're not paying full tuition, you're basically having them raise tzedakah for your cost. I'm not so sure that instead you should give to your friend who's being honored by his yeshiva ketana, give the money to his dinner while your yeshiva ketana is busily scrambling looking for the funds because you know you have your obligations to his dinner. Oh, very good, very good. So this is going to be one of the big. His question is he's bringing down a pasuk that giving feeding your children is considered oisit tzedakah b'chaleis. So if that's the case, if feeding your children is giving tzedakah, so then everyone here gives a tremendous amount of tzedakah because their children they're feeding their children. So that's a very good point, and there's a discussion what children that's talking about. Below under six, over six, is there if you have a chiv to feed them anyway, then it can't be part of tzedakah. But that is a good point, and there is a discussion whether you can take that off your ma'aser. Well, again, Mirza Hashem, we'll get there. And
so we have to give when somebody comes to your request. What happens though? We give and then you request again.
Oh. Very good. So it says paseach tiftach, the free darshans, afilu me'ah pa'amim. Now you have to know. Does that mean can I have tzedakah? Okay. Now what about again? So we'll have to discuss. Maybe it's a new tzairich, but that's again.
We have a lot to talk about.